The scripture reading for tonight is Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs 4. This is the instruction that Solomon gives to his son, his covenant son. Our text tonight is Proverbs 4, verse 23. Proverbs 4, verse 23. We will read the whole chapter. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief. And their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light, that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Thus far we read the holy, inspired word of God tonight. May he bless the word unto our hearts. The text is verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Do you care about your heart? When you first hear that question, you think, well, of course I care about my physical heart. If I don't care about my physical heart, I will die. But what about your spiritual heart? What about your spiritual center? Do you care about that? Satan certainly does. Satan cares a lot about the hearts of God's children. Satan especially cares about the hearts of the little children here and the young people and the young adults. Satan wants to pollute their hearts with sin. You see, Satan especially cares about their hearts because if he can get in their hearts, he has an avenue right into the church. And he can have great influence in the church. He wants nothing more than that. We must care for our hearts then. Guarding them or keeping them is so important. We want to keep Satan and sin from influencing our hearts. We don't want that. Instead, knowing what Christ has done, we want good influences upon our hearts. We want our hearts to be focused upon God so that we go forward giving Him, the God of our salvation, all the praise, all the glory. Guarding our hearts is so important. Proverbs 4 teaches us about guarding the heart. This is the instruction of a father to his covenant son. The book of Proverbs is the instruction of Solomon, the king, to his son. Proverbs 4 verse 1 says, "Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding." Verse 20, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings." And in verse 23, Solomon gives this command, this instruction to his son. Keep thy heart. Guard your heart. Young people, young adults, you are especially being addressed tonight. This is the instruction to a son in the text, so this is especially instruction to you. Your parents and your teachers and your minister have taught you throughout your entire life the importance of what happens on the inside. They have taught you, really, to guard your heart. Put away sin, keep from it, keep from the bad influences. But tonight you hear a reminder, an important reminder. This is Christ speaking to us, calling us to guard our hearts tonight. Not just calling the young people to do it, it applies to all of us. We all have this calling to keep our hearts. And tonight, may the Holy Spirit move us powerfully through the preaching to go forward this week and do that. To His glory and honor. Let's consider this text, Proverbs 4, verse 23, under the theme, guarding your heart. Guarding your heart. First, your heart. Second, guarding it. Third, the possibility. Guarding your heart. Your heart, guarding it, the possibility. First, your heart. What is your heart? The heart is the inner life from which flows your thoughts, desires, and actions. That's your heart. This text is speaking of the spiritual heart. Verse 23 is not speaking of man's physical heart. If verse 23 was speaking of man's physical heart, then the surrounding verses would be all about exercise or eating right. All those things would help your physical heart. That's not what the surrounding verses are about. The surrounding verses are all about man's spiritual life. Verse 24 says, "Put from thee a froward mouth." Verse 25, "Let thine eyes look right on." Verse 26, "Ponder the path of thy feet." Verse 27, "Remove thy foot from evil." This whole chapter is about spiritual things. Solomon is not speaking about the physical heart. In verse 23, he's speaking about man's spiritual heart, his spiritual center. Now again, from the spiritual heart flows your thoughts, your desires, your activities. To understand your spiritual heart, you can think of your physical heart. Man's physical heart is really a picture of his spiritual heart. You see, your physical heart is the source or origin of the blood flow to the entire body. It's the center. From your physical heart flows blood to the rest of the body so that you can move. Now, it's a picture of the spiritual heart. As the physical heart is the center or the origin of the blood flow to the rest of the body, your spiritual heart is your spiritual center from which flows your thoughts, your desires, and your actions. Proverbs 4, verse 23 shows us that your heart is that inner life from which flows all your activity. It says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." And especially focus on that second phrase in the verse at this point in the sermon. Out of the heart are the issues of life. That phrase, issues of life, must be understood. Issues of life means springs of life or outgoings of life. Out of the heart are the outgoings or the activities of your life in the world. From your spiritual heart flows your thoughts, desires, and actions. Now we are looking then at the heart very broadly here tonight. That must be understood before we move on. This text gave me trouble for quite a while before I preached it in Edgerton. Young people asked me to preach it for a confession of faith, and it was very difficult for me to understand exactly what the heart was referring to here. The heart is one of the most complex subjects in all of the scriptures. And that's because the heart can refer to different things in different passages. For instance, in some passages, Scripture is speaking more narrowly of the heart, referring to the regenerated heart of the child of God. In other passages, the Scriptures, especially in the Old Testament, the Scriptures speak more broadly of the heart. They refer to the heart as the whole inner life of a man from which flows all of his thoughts, desires, activities. Now, after studying this text for a long time, the Holy Spirit led me to view the heart in a broad way. That's how the heart ought to be viewed here, in a broad way. The idea of the heart must be kept simple here. This is the instruction of a father to his son. And tonight, this is instruction especially to our children, even our little children. It has to be kept simple. So we view the heart broadly here. The idea of the heart is simply this. And kids, you can all understand this. You have this inner life. It's called your heart. And from that inner life, from your heart, flows all of your activities. Everything you think, everything you want and desire, everything you do. Or you can think of your heart as a control center. You know what a control center is. The heart is like the control center for all of your thoughts, your desires, and your actions. Now, from that heart, from your heart flows activities that are good or bad, pleasing to God or not pleasing to God. In this text, understand that Solomon is speaking about the heart of a child of God. He's speaking to his son, his covenant son. He says, guard thy heart, or keep thy heart. He's not speaking to everyone in the world. He's not speaking to the unbelievers surrounding the nation of Israel. He's speaking to his covenant child, saying, keep thy heart. And therefore, this text is speaking about our hearts as children of God. The text is speaking about our hearts and the hearts of our children that have God's life in them. The text is speaking about our hearts and the hearts of our children who have the Spirit within us. Now, the heart of a child of God that has God living in him, that heart can be a healthy heart, a spiritually strong heart, or it can be an unhealthy heart or a weak heart. Understand that the heart of one who is not a child of God, that one's heart is dead. He's dead. He does not have any life of God in him. The heart of a child of God is the Spirit. But that heart can be a healthy heart or an unhealthy heart, a spiritually strong heart or a weak spiritually heart. You know that. You understand that. By a healthy heart or by a spiritually strong heart, I refer to a heart that is focused upon God. A heart that is focused upon what Christ has done. By one who has the spiritually strong heart, he knows what Christ has done for him. And he thinks about it. And he dwells upon it, meditates upon it. His heart is focused. His whole inner life is focused on God. His heart still has sin in it, certainly. But his heart is focused on God and serving him. That's a healthy heart. By an unhealthy heart, I refer to the heart of a child of God that is not focused upon God at that time. That one has really forgotten what Christ has done for him. He's not dwelling upon that. His heart is holding on to sin, and sin is really gaining the upper hand. That's an unhealthy heart. from the heart of a child of God flows activities that are good or bad. Mark 7, verse 23 shows us that from a man's heart certainly flows bad activities. Mark 7, verse 20, it's where Jesus gives us instruction about the heart. He says, "That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." From a spiritually unhealthy heart or a spiritually weak heart flow forth activities that are not pleasing to God. You can think of it like a spring of water. From a polluted spring of water flows forth polluted water. From an unhealthy spiritual heart flows forth polluted activity, bad activity. What's flowing from the heart is sinful thoughts, desires, actions that are not focused on God and giving Him praise. That's what flows forth from the unhealthy heart. And we've all had that at times in our lives. We know what that's like. When we are walking in sin, at that time we have an unhealthy heart, not focused on God, focused on self and anything else but God. So that what flows forth is sin. Now from a spiritually healthy heart flows the opposite. From the spiritually healthy heart flows forth activities that are pleasing to God. Just like from a clean fountain of water flows forth clean water, so forth does from a good heart, spiritually healthy heart, flow forth good God-glorifying activity. That one who has that spiritually strong heart, from his heart flows forth actions that are pleasing to God, thoughts that are pleasing to God, desires, wants pleasing to God. You understand then that what we do outwardly is really a window into the condition of our hearts. What we do outwardly reflects the condition of our hearts, whether it's a healthy, spiritually strong heart or a weak, spiritually weak heart. What we do outwardly reflects that, and you'll notice that with a couple of examples. You think of two young children who both want the same toy. Well, many times those two young children will fight over that toy. They will push the other child out of the way so that they can get it and they can play with it. Well, those activities, that activity is a window into a spiritually weak heart. A heart that is not focused on God and giving Him praise, but a heart that is focused on self and getting what I want and what I desire. Two kids, however, who share that toy. Two kids who share that toy and want to help the other one out. That activity is a window into a spiritually healthy heart. That activity reflects a child whose heart is focused on God and giving Him praise. You can tell the condition of the heart by the activity. And young people, same thing is true for you. The activities of lying to parents, cheating on a test, lying on a time card, those things, those activities reflect the condition of your heart. They reflect a spiritually unhealthy heart. But the opposite is also true. The activity of telling your parents the truth about where you are going on Friday night, that reflects too the condition of the heart. And it reflects the condition of it reflects a spiritually healthy heart. Are focused on God. What you text, what you put on Snapchat, what you like on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook or anything like that, all of that is a reflection of where your heart is at. Know that. See that tonight. The heart is your whole inner life. From the heart flows activities that are good or bad, pleasing to God or not pleasing to God. Command tonight is to guard your heart. Guard your heart. Keep it. Keep it so that what flows forth is good activity, God-glorifying activity. That's the command of the text. Let's see that now. What does verse 23 mean when it says keep, or more literally, guard thy heart? What does that mean? Keeping the heart has the idea of guarding it or protecting it. To understand that, think of a spring of water. And again, I keep using that analogy because the word issues in the text, it literally is springs or outgoings. So we use the example or the analogy of a spring of water. In some towns, the source of their water is a spring. What happens is the rain comes down. That rain hits the ground. It sinks into the soil. Goat passes even through the rock. And as it does that, it is purified. And many times, eventually, that water, it finds a way out of the ground too. And where it comes out of the ground, that is a spring. And pure water flows out of that spring. Now, some towns have that as their water source. If a town has that spring as its water source, it is going to do whatever it can to guard that spring, to make sure that no pollution gets into it. And if any pollution is in it, they want to take it out. That's their water source. They guard it. Well, as that spring is guarded, our hearts need to be guarded. For we have enemies that seek to infiltrate, to get into our hearts and pollute them more and more, bring us to sin more and more. You see, Satan comes and attacks. And he's very good at attacking. He's very good at making sin look good and good look bad. He's good at it. Satan tries to make us believe that following his ways and focusing on self, that will bring happiness. That's the way of happiness. And Satan uses the world for that. So not only do we have enemies seeking to get into our hearts and pollute them more and more, but we also have a sinful nature. Pollution inside of us. Sin inside of us. Now this is the command. Guard your heart. Keep away from things that will have a negative effect upon the heart and thus will lead to sin. Keep away from those things. But also, those sins that are within, remove them. Take out that pollution. Get it out. And also, use every means available to serve to the health of your heart as a child of God. Keep away from the bad. Remove any bad that is within you. Take that out. And use every means available to serve to the health of your spiritual heart. Now we'll look at that more in a moment. We'll look at more how one actually guards his heart. But before we do that, let's understand that the text also teaches that guarding your heart is of great importance. Guarding your heart is of great importance. Verse 23 of Proverbs 4 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence." Those words, where we focus right now. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Now that word diligence there, it actually comes, in the original language, it comes from the same word as keep or guard. So this text could actually be read this way. If you were interpreting it from the original language, it could be read, "Keep thy heart with all keeping," or "Guard thy heart with all guarding." And the idea is this, above all else, guard your heart. Above all else, guard your heart. So if a town, they have a spring of water, it's important that they guard that spring of water. But it's not as important as if they guard their hearts. One too might guard his weight, watch his weight. He might watch his car, keep it from getting dings. He might watch his home, keep it from burglars. You might watch many things, but there's nothing as important as guarding your heart. Above all else, guard your heart. That's the words of the text. Keep Satan and sin from overtaking your heart, making it more and more unhealthy. So that you walk in sin. Guard it. Now it's important that we guard our hearts. The text teaches that. Here's why. Two reasons. Why it is so important that we guard our hearts. It is in this way of guarding our hearts that we glorify God. And it is in this way that we experience fellowship with our God. First, it is in the way of guarding our hearts that we give glory to our God. And notice how that's phrased. We give glory to our God. This text is especially instruction to a covenant son, a believer. This text is especially instruction to believing children tonight, those who know their God. What a God he is. A God who has saved us from eternal destruction, who sees us as if we have never sinned in Jesus Christ, and who now, on the basis of what Christ has done, works in us even to love and adore him, and works in the line of continued generations. What a God he is. Covenant children, seeing that and knowing that, they want to glorify him, and it is their duty to glorify him. Well, if one does not guard the heart, one will not be glorifying God. If one is not guarding the heart, one will be walking in sin. That is not living to the glory of God. Think of that spring of water. What will happen if that spring of water is not guarded? Well, if that town leaves it unguarded, over time, it's very likely it will become polluted. Well, if we leave our hearts unguarded, it's not just very likely that it will become polluted with sin more and more, but it will. It will, certainly. Satan and sin will become more and more influential in our hearts. And then when your heart becomes more and more influenced by Satan and sin, what flows forth from it is sin. And that's not glorifying to our God, the God who has given us everything. So if we do not guard our hearts, we will not live to the glory of God. Guard your heart so that your heart is healthy. Keep it from those sinful influences. Then what flows from your heart is God-glorifying thoughts, God-glorifying wants, God-glorifying activity. That's what we want to do as his children. Guard your heart to give glory to your God. That's the first reason this is so important. It is in that way, guarding our hearts, that we glorify our covenant God. But also this, it's important to guard your hearts because it is in that way that we experience fellowship with God, and that's wonderful. Understand the warning here in this text. We have to see the warning. Those who do not guard their hearts, they do not enjoy life with God. What happens when one does not guard his heart? Well, sin influences that heart more and more, and what flows forth is sinful activity. And one walks in sin. One who walks in sin and lives like the devil does not experience life with God. Look at what David says in Psalm 51 and Psalm 32. When he was walking in adultery, his bones waxed old all the day long. He was not experiencing life with God. God was still his God, but he wasn't experiencing life with him at that time. He felt far from him. That's the same way it will be for those today who do not guard their hearts. The opposite is also true. Those who do guard their hearts, they walk in God's ways. And in that way, they enjoy life with God. This does not mean that by guarding their hearts and walking in God's ways, they've earned fellowship with God. Certainly doesn't mean that. Fellowship with God is based upon what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. Fellowship with God is by faith. Also see this. We experience that fellowship in the way of obedience to God. How God works is this way. He gives faith to his children. And having faith and knowing Christ, we seek to guard our hearts in thankfulness to him. And in that way of guarding our hearts, what flows forth is God-glorifying activity. And in that way of walking in praise to our God, we enjoy life with him. We experience his nearness, his closeness. We experience covenant life with God as his covenant children. That's why guarding your heart is so important. It is in that way that we glorify God. It is in that way that we enjoy life with him. But now more specifically, how do we guard our hearts. How do we do this very important activity? First, see this regarding how we guard them. Guard your heart by keeping away from all of the bad influences upon the heart. And let's be specific. Keep away from bad influences like wicked entertainment, wicked television shows, wicked music, wicked internet sites. It's very hard to find one television show that's not wicked. You think about what is heard. Just think about what is heard on some of these shows and in this music. Think about that. And think about the effect that that has upon the heart. In many of these shows, pretty much all of them, and in the music of the world, one hears swearing. One hears taking God's name in vain or euphemisms. One hears dirty jokes. If you are listening to those things, what effect does that have on your heart? Not a good one. That does not lead your heart to become focused on God. It leads your heart to become focused on sin, filth, fornication. And even songs and shows that do not have those things explicitly in them, swearing or taking God's name in vain. Even if they don't have those things explicitly in them, think of what the shows of the world teach. Think of what the music of the world teaches. It exalts the greatness of man. Now, what happens to the heart when you are continually watching those things? Nothing good, that's for sure. Your heart becomes focused on the things of the world, on mankind, exalting him, not on God. That's just the effect of some of the things you hear on those shows. Consider the bad things that you see on some of those shows. Video games, internet sites. Think of pornography. So easily accessible today, right? You can get it right on your phone. Think of the effect that has on a man's heart when he looks at those things. His heart does not become focused upon God. His heart becomes focused on self and filth. Think about the violence that's prevalent not only on the shows, but also on video games, shooting games, killing games. What does that do to the heart when you're continually playing those games? Does your heart, when you're playing those games, does your heart become focused more and more on God and on keeping the sixth commandment? Absolutely not. Letting these things influence your heart hurts your heart, leads to an unhealthy spiritual heart, and then you know what flows from that unhealthy spiritual heart, more and more sin. It leads away from a God-glorifying life. So it's so important that we keep away from the bad influences of wicked entertainment. This week, kids, when you turn on the TV, or when you get in your car to go to school, there's that stereo. When that happens, you think, you remember what the Savior Jesus Christ has done for you. You remember the calling to guard your heart and do that. By the grace of God, do that. Guard your heart to the glory of God. Parents, you have a very, very great calling there too. You're called to help your children guard your heart. It's your duty to know what they are doing on their phones, what they are watching on TV. It's your duty. It's your calling. Do that. That's the first way we will talk about specifically in keeping away from the bad influences on the heart. Keep away from that wicked entertainment. But also keep away from bad friends. Friends have such a great influence upon our thinking, upon our hearts. Keep away from certain acquaintances at college that may always be wanting you to drink. There may be those at work who are trying to get you to go and watch this or that movie. There may be those who are always talking bad about the church, the elders, the deacons, the minister. Think about what happens when you keep those acquaintances. and you don't speak to them about their sin. Think of what happens. Think about the effect upon your heart. It does not lead to does not bring your heart to be focused upon God. Keeping that acquaintance brings your heart to be focused upon sin, upon bad. So humbly show. If you have those acquaintances, humbly show them their sin. And if they do not turn, you must leave that acquaintance. You may not continue to hang around with them. You may not. Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. Be not unequally yoked with those who are, do not continue to fellowship with those who are continuing in their sin. Do not do that. You must bring them the word. Knowing what Christ has done for us, we want to have clean hearts. We want to have pure hearts so that what flows forth is God-glorifying activity. So keep away from the bad influences, but now turn to the good influences. That's also how we guard our hearts. We are to turn to the good influences. And the Word of God is the number one good influence upon the heart. The Word of God is powerful. Solomon knew that. By the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he speaks often in Proverbs 4 of the importance of the Word of God. In verse 20, Solomon says, "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings." Solomon here was speaking the word of God to his son by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. In verse 20, he's saying, "Son, pay attention to the word. Pay attention to the word of God." That's a good influence upon the heart. What a positive influence it has. You think of it tonight. What effect reading the word and hearing the word regularly has upon your heart. When we are in the word, by the grace of God, we see who our God is. That he is our covenant, keeping God. The God who is faithful to us. The God who sent his son for us. And that's then what we think about when we are on the lawnmower, walking up and down the stairs, or whatever we're doing. We're always wanting to think about our God because we're in the Word. Then think of what happens when that temptation comes to one who's in the Word, whose heart is focused upon God. When that temptation to lie comes to that one, his heart's not focused upon self. His heart's focused upon God. So he says no to that temptation to lie. I will not do that. I want to serve my God. The word also sheds light upon those sins that we often harbor within our hearts. We all have sins that our flesh especially likes. But the word of God, it's a powerful influence. In fact, it moves us to put away those sins. That's what happened in the life of David. We talked about him before. Well, when Nathan the prophet brought the word to him when he was walking in sin, the Holy Spirit worked powerfully through that word. So David saw his sin and he put out that sin, that terrible pollution within him. He put it out. Well, our sins also are exposed through the word of God. And by the power of the word, we too put out those sins. What a positive influence the Word has. So turn to the Word. Read it. Young people, read it. Have devotions, personal devotions. That can be hard. Do it. Come here to hear the Word of God regularly proclaimed. Go to catechism. Be ready for catechism. Older members, go to Bible study. We need the Word. This serves to influence our hearts for good, so that then what flows forth is glorifying activity to God. Now there are other good influences that we are to turn to. Turn also to good influences like good music. Music is so influential on us, all of us, especially on young people. You think about songs. You remember the words to those songs so well. The words just flow together. You remember words to a song way better than any lecture you remember. Music is powerful. By God's grace, godly music will serve as a good influence on your heart. By God's grace, your heart will become more and more focused upon Jesus Christ, your Savior. And then with your heart focused upon God, when that temptation comes to be selfish, or that temptation comes to go to that party, your heart's focused on God, not on self. So you put that sin away, and you live to the glory of God. Turn to godly music, and also turn to godly friends. Friends, too, have a huge influence on the heart. Think about what happens when you are with godly friends. You talk about the Word. You talk about church things. You sing together. You have good. You do good, clean activities. All of those things serve to keep our hearts focused on God. So find godly friends. Young people, do that. Your heart is your whole inner life. From your heart flows good activity or bad activity. Well, we as God's children, we want to glorify God, so we must guard our hearts. The only possibility of guarding your heart is in Jesus Christ, the one who gives us wisdom. We need wisdom if we are going to guard our hearts. Throughout Proverbs, and especially in this chapter, the Holy Spirit emphasizes wisdom. Verse 5, we read, "Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth." Verse 7, the Spirit says, "Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding." We need that wisdom if we are going to guard our hearts. Wisdom is the ability to apply the truth that you have heard and know in the proper manner to the glory of God. Wisdom is the ability to apply the truth that you know and have heard in the proper manner to the glory of God. Now, if we're going to guard our hearts, we need wisdom. We need to be able to apply the truth that we have heard today and that we know so that we go forth living to the glory of God. We have heard today that we are to guard our hearts. Turn from the bad influences. Turn to the good influences. We've heard that. We know that. Now we need wisdom so that this might be applied to our life. We might go forth using this knowledge to give praise to our God in every area of life. Guarding our hearts all the time. We need wisdom. Who supplies that wisdom? Jesus Christ, our Savior. Jesus Christ is the only one who gives that precious gift of wisdom. Jesus Christ was perfectly wise himself. He never sinned. He used all that he knew. He applied all that he knew to his life in the proper manner, to the glory of God. Jesus Christ, he now gives that wisdom to us as the resurrected and ascended Lord. Luke 21, verse 15. Luke 21, verse 15 says this. These are the words of Christ. "For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist." Jesus says, "I will give you wisdom." And that's what he does for his children. From his throne on high as the Almighty Lord, he gives us strength. Gives us the ability to apply what we have heard today and go forward living to God's glory, guarding our hearts. By the power of Christ, we are able to turn from the bad influences, turn to the good influences, so that what flows forth is activity that praises our God. Young people, all of us really, go forth this week then praying for wisdom. Pray for wisdom. Pray for forgiveness. We have not guarded our hearts as we ought. Lean on Jesus Christ for forgiveness. And also pray for wisdom that you might go forth now and apply what you've heard and guard your heart. It's only in him. You cannot do it on your own. So pray tonight before you go to bed. Pray tomorrow morning. Oh God, give me wisdom.
that I might guard my heart. Let's all do this to the glory and praise of our gracious God. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, O Lord, we come before thee, and we confess that we have not guarded our hearts as we ought to have guarded them. We have sinned. We pray that thou will forgive our sins. Lord, we also beg, we cry out for wisdom, the wisdom of Jesus Christ. We pray that thou wilt work in us to apply all that we've heard tonight and go forward this week guarding our hearts. It's only by thy strength that we can. In Jesus' name, amen.